Welcome to the Short Score, your weekly update of rope and news from around the industry, where you can find the latest on the sport from the pro rodeo ranks to the jackpot world. I'm Taylor Vollen, and I'm your host. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Short Score. It's your host, Taylor Vollen. Well, the 2025 NFR is officially in the books, and man, what a way it ended tonight. Going into round 10, things kind of needed to align perfectly for Andrew Ward and Jake Long, and boy, did it. They split the round one with a 3.9 in round 10 with Caleb and Junior, and to be quite honest, as I was crunching numbers, I wasn't really sure who the split round would then crown as our world champs, but when it was all said and done, Andrew and Jake took the average in world titles, and man, it couldn't have happened to two better guys. They're going to be great world champs and representatives for our sport, we feel like. And so this might be one of my favorite conversations of the week, I won't lie, and I know you're going to enjoy it in our final episode of the NFR edition of The Short Score, which has been brought to you by our friends over at Oz on a Hot Streak all week long. The Nebraska Raised Stallion, built for both AQHA Gold and NFR Pressure. Oz is the 2019 AQHA Junior Heading World Champ, a top 10 heeler, and the first stallion with that title to ever rope inside the Thomas & Mack.
He walked over and he goes, "Hey, your heel shot and the last one's under review." And I was like, "That's not even funny."
Yeah, it's not joke that way.
Is that the last one?
That is. That looks legal to me.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
He's so pretty. Coffer's so awesome.
I've always wanted to have a heel picture with my hand kind of like on my leg.
Uh huh.
It just seems like that's what the great healers do.
Yeah. When was the last time you healed in competition?
Oh, I don't know. I hate healing. It's scary to me, and I don't know the last time I've done it. They wanted to go to three loops out here, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I voted against it because I don't want Jake to head one and me to have to heal after that. I'm terrified of it.
Okay, it's funny you say that because I was telling Andrew earlier that I feel like he's a new kid still,
mm-hmm.
because, and I was like, when I was starting to write this world championship story, I was like six NFRs, which is crazy to me because we've been at 15 together, and there's pictures very early in my career of Jake heading wonderfully on Colonel,
yep.
before we realized that we had to protect Colonel in bubble wrap.
Yeah, young and dumb is not always a good thing. Colonel... Well, he was a good head horse, though. That's the problem, which I've told this story before, but we were at Red Bluff, and I'm heading on Colonel entirely too much, having fun, and Champ's there, and we're all just practicing, having a good time, and I asked Champ, I was like, "Champ, you think I maybe need to be a header?" In Champ's way, he sat there for a minute, and he looked at me, and he goes, "Well, I guess that depends. You want to be a $1 million header or a $2 million healer?" And I was like, "Champ thinks I could be a $1 million header." And then I told everybody later, I said, "That's the nicest way I've ever been told I'm terrible at something."
That's Champ. That is Champ. Andrew, what does it mean for you to get this guy a gold medal?
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about. He's had a lot of close calls out here. I think me and Buds were close. I know 1 year we was, maybe 2 years, and we kind of dropped the ball maybe in the eighth and ninth round, but we never was like on the final day. Like Jake's been a lot of times. And I remember watching this rodeo on the couch and Jake looking like he was going to win one when I was in my 20s or whatever. You know, he's been doing it a long time. And so... it is a neat thing to get him across the finish line. It's great for me, but I was so pumped when Jake, he's got it now. So that's awesome.
Okay, I don't know how to say this without being a jerk face about it. And I'm trying not to be a jerk face about it.
Be a jerk face. But you can't hurt my feelings right
now. There have been guys who have been the greatest to never win a world title, and you were on that list. And now we are crossing your name off that list. What does this mean?
I don't know that you can really put it into words. I think
me and him were talking. I was like, man, if you anytime you could win a world title, I think it's going to mean the world to us because it's our dream growing up. But to come this many times to be, I mean, I'm not getting younger. I think I'm the third oldest healer here. You start thinking maybe it's not meant to be. Maybe it's not going to be something that's in the cards for you. And that's fine, too, in a sense of, like, I've had a wonderful career, and I had come to terms with that, that I wasn't going to maybe achieve that ultimate goal. So I've cried more tonight than I've cried in a long time because it was highly emotional. I told him, you know, just all the family and everybody that supported me, everybody telling me all week, you know, this, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And I've been sad, you know, for several days now just because, like, I didn't feel like I was healing quite as good as I needed to. And then when I broke a leg in round 9, I knew if I caught that one, we were alive and we'd have a chance. And so when I roped a leg on that one, I mean, I was just out back. And God love Andy. I mean, he came out there and cheered me up, wouldn't let me be sad. And then we sat there and visited. And I thought we roped really, really good this week. But it's just, man, these guys are good. I mean, the rounds got so daggum fast. And we were making the exact run that we practiced. So it's like, I told somebody, I'm like, I've never done exactly what I wanted to do when I came out here and been so frustrated the whole time because it was just, we were making really, really great runs and they were just kicking us in the teeth in the rounds. And it was like, I just felt like we were deserving to do better there in the middle than what we were getting rewarded with. But for it to all work out, I mean, they can't take it away from me now. So it's, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem real. I told Tasha that they're wanting to take that buckle away from me for 4 months, and I don't want to let them because I want to just hug it and keep hold of it. And it's unbelievable. That was a long-winded answer. But,
that's what I want. That's why we're here. That's why I made you guys wait till you were done with everybody else to talk to me. I'm going to make you talk again, but the girls in the stand sent us a video of you hugging your wife. What was going through your mind?
I don't have my phone on me, so my phone's out there at the stalls. I haven't carried it at all this whole week. I listen to my music and I throw the magnet up there on the stall, so I have no idea what's going on out there. I'm sure a bunch of people think I'm really rude right now, and so I didn't want to wait till afterwards. I had to run up there and at least hug her because. I mean, before we had anything, I won the straight. Me and Coleman won the straight. And I got to call her. She didn't get to go to the open. And just to share that moment with her on the phone, and I had to steal Andy's phone downstairs so I could call her. And I just had to go up and hug him. And we've been through so much. She has put up with way more than she should and probably will continue to be. Honestly, but I don't know that I mean, just to share that moment with her is unreal, and I couldn't wait until afterwards. So.
I'm worst.
It's making me cry because I did the same thing. I called Haley down there. I said, "Don't leave," and I called Haley and I just told her thank you because without her, I don't know how we do it. I mean, you don't see the work that she puts in.
I did for years before she was your wife. I watched the work she put in.
Well,
a lot
of people don't get to see
how
good and a teammate she is for me. And so I just call her and tell her thank you. And that's the, you know, all this stuff doesn't really matter. Having a great wife, it's incredible. It's a gift from God, and I'm so thankful for her. And I hope she understands that.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Last year you told me that I was happy to see everybody because I'm like a puppy dog and that's how I feel right now.
Andy is too. So.
Okay, so Biscuit, you didn't get on Biscuit here. Tell me about Henry and why do you ride him?
Biscuit was abscessing, and I wasn't getting to practice on him. and me and Jake had already talked about it. I finished with Colin last year on Henry, and we won $100,000. And a lot of it come from the end of the week on Henry. I think me and Biscuit won second in one round, and then I called Colin towards the end of the week and said, what if I just rode Henry? He's like, yeah, let's do it. And I felt like I was getting great starts, able to manipulate the cow how I wanted to, and it felt like easy roping. So when we were practicing, we were making runs on Henry. I wasn't getting to ride Biscuit, and I was like, I think I'm just going to ride Henry. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, I like it. So when I do get out here, I felt like he was as easy as he felt when we started in the seventh round last year. And I just think he's an incredible, another gift from God. You know you're meant to be doing this. I bought that horse not knowing how great he was. And so he is a special animal in there. He's very big, strong, but he's very quick. And I felt like the roping was a lot easier on me this year. So more than likely I'll be riding him again next year.
And you said that horse Copper is a lover. We caught you loving on him quite a bit back there in the alley. Tell me about him.
Well, he wants to be your best friend, and that's as important to me as them working good, really, is I want to be their buddy. I want them to want to be my buddy, and he's just got such a cool personality. He would literally pin me up against the wall with his, like, he'd just lay his head into me, and he'd want you to just sit there and scratch on him. And, I mean, I've only had him a year, but, I mean, we bonded right away. Andy got tired of me saying how much I loved him. And I would just tell him, you know, there for a few months, I just was like, hey, have I told you today I love Copper? I mean, I just, you know, he's a special horse. He can really run. He's really athletic. And he stays around the cow really, really well. And he made healing in here as easy as it's ever been for me.
Your pictures, and we were just looking, your pictures look as pretty as they've ever looked in here.
Yeah.
Like, because you can throw from anywhere, and mm-hmm. you have thrown yeah. from anywhere in here, but it didn't look like you were this yeah. year. Like,
well, he, you know, there was a couple steers. The one steer, I don't even remember what round it was, eight or something, but I accidentally left too straight on a steer that we knew went left, and so I don't really know why I did that. I didn't necessarily mean to, but I was as far away from a cow as you can be in this arena almost when Andrew headed him. And for that horse to even get over there and give me a throw before we got in such a pickle that you couldn't rope one, it is unbelievable. And for him to be as young as he is, and just to be able to throw him in the fire, he's taken everything. Andrew was very instrumental in me getting on him earlier this year. I rode him a little bit in the winter, and I loved riding him, but he was, I mean, he's only 6 years old. He was super green. And Andy was just like, Andy can really run, Biscuit can really run. Let's let them run together. I think it'll be a good team. And for him to give me that confidence in a horse that he knew deep down that I was wanting to ride, but it was hard for me to pull the trigger because I didn't heal very good this winter. And we were behind the eight ball, and I told him, like, as nice as I think this horse is, we can't afford for him to cost us money. And for me to get on a super green horse when we're behind and we need to catch up, I mean, for him to step out in faith with me and let me ride that horse meant the world to me. And then, you know, he's grown with us all year and has really been flawless the whole time. I mean, he has not cost us one cent the whole time. And I think now, you know, talking about Colonel and heading on him, and obviously he was as special of animals you could ever throw a leg on. With my age and everything now, you truly appreciate them. Not that I didn't. I appreciated Colonel, obviously, at the time, but I didn't know how lucky I was to have that special of an animal. And so that's why I did do some silly. Not that I abused him. I mean, I loved him too. But, you know, this one's treated with kid gloves because I know how special he is and how much he does for me and my family. And I just couldn't. I couldn't be any happier.
He's six. You can be riding him in the century roping someday soon.
Like here in a couple years, I think. I did miss my dally the other night on one. And, well, God dallied for me because I literally dropped it and it half-hitched on the horn. And we won like third in the round.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like I literally didn't even have a, like, I dropped it. My hand was off of it.
88 style.
And before I could even get my hand back to the rope, the flag was done. Which, I mean, I was technically dallied, but
They can't take it from you now.
Why? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I told him, that's what I told Andy. I was like, well, Jesus dallied that one for us. But,
this episode of The Short Score is brought to you by a true Nebraska success story, Oz on a Hot Streak. Raised by the Ozentowski family, Oz won an AQHA world title at 4 years old, earned over $400,000, placed third at the Governor's Cup in Sioux Falls this year, and now is at the NFR with Lane Mitchell as the first AQHA world champion stallion ever to compete at the finals. He also comes in as the 2025 PRCA Heel Horse of the Year runner-up. And you are in luck because through this entire 2025 NFR, Solo Select is offering $500 off of every Oz breeding. Lock your contract in over at soloselecthorses.com or by calling Madison at 940-580-0156.
Daniel Green texts me because, you know, we joke a little bit. He's like, man, you don't have to tie on. You can just go ahead and dally. And I said, well, I'm just practicing for here in a couple of years. I'm almost there. So.
At the beginning of the week, I don't know if it was maybe two or three steers in, Trevor said every header here needs to be playing back what Andrew's doing and do exactly what Andrew's doing. That's what Trevor said. Everyone here, nobody was heading like Andrew and riding their horse like Andrew.
Wow.
Tell me about...
Coming from best of all time. Thank you, Trevor.
Well, you have a gold buckle now, too. But tell me about that run. Tell me about the run that you guys were trying to build and in this building.
I struggle with thinking I'm a little too slow in here, to be honest. And so when we're practicing, me and Jake, I've never practiced that well for the NFR. And when we got out here, it was going great. And I'm a creature of the habits that I've built at home. So like I have to stick to the process. And if I come out of that, I'll hate myself for it. And so I felt like I was going a little slow in the middle, and we wasn't drawing great, and I made some mistakes. But yeah, it's at the first of the week, I was really proud of the run. And then when these guys started going that fast, I got a little bit like, gosh, I wish I would have, I had another button to hit to go a little faster. But it ended up working out and I was grateful. But it's cool to hear that Trevor liked what I was doing because he's one of the best of all time. So.
Yeah, he definitely said that. He said the step, the extra step you were taking before you turned, tell me about the way he handled the steers for you this week.
Well, when me and him were talking about it, in my opinion, it had nothing to do with him heading the steer slow. Like he does battle that in his head a little bit about being slow. And I said, man, I don't think it is all that you're heading the steer slow. He turns the cow more with footwork versus just kind of amateur rodeo, lay your horse down. And this is the first time in my career being out here, the steers felt a little bit softer to me. And so I thought you could amateur rodeo a little bit more on them.
Did you tell them to speed up then?
Well, I think if the steers would have really run, which that's what we prepared for, because that's what generally is the case here. And I felt like we're criticizing 3.9 to 4.2. We're nitpicking the tiniest of things. But it's not at all that he's slow. It's just the way our run develops. He uses footwork with his horse to turn the cow. Makes my job incredibly easy. Just lays him up super easy to heel fast. But it does take just a... When you're talking about trying to get down to 3.3, it does take just that extra little tick. So I feel like me and him have that gear if we need it. But that's something that maybe we're going to have to practice a little bit, because we've developed a run together that I think is way fast enough and super consistent. But if we need to go into the trying to tie world records and stuff, then we do have to shave some time off of it. But I don't think we're going to do it by either one of us necessarily throwing faster. I think we need to, like, if we're going to fix anything, this is going to sound weird, but he's going to have to duck his horse, which is stupid. And then we just need to make sure we get good finishes. I need to have a little better space around the corner on my end. I was a little too close to a couple of them. So then when I heel him, I'm kind of still on the gain. I heel him. It makes him harder to time his face. So I caught him with a loose head rope a couple times because of my mistakes of being too close. And so
that's where teamwork comes in too, is like, he's telling me he feels slow. There's at least two or three things that I can change that, that speeds us up too. So tonight was the first one that I healed fast. Like, I wasn't necessarily healing. I felt like I was healing on time. Like, I was healing at the right time for the run. But there is a window in there that I could have sped the run up. And I felt like I did speed the run up a little bit tonight had I dallied a little bit cleaner. But
yeah, there was a split second there. I was scared for you.
I just, my pinky, huh? I got excited and I went to kind of pull back before I actually had a wrap. And, you know, luckily,
glad it, to have a pinky.
Yeah, luckily it was in there. But, you know, that's the hard part to me is like when guys get out here and they, it's easy when you get here because, like, man, everybody's really good and they're really fast and we all practice for it. And for him to feel slow, it shouldn't all be on him. I mean, it is called team roping. And so, if I'm borderline crossfiring them and you feel slow, then it's like, okay, maybe we can let you feel that way. But I'm not exactly just Superman healing back there. I mean, I was getting caught decent, but it wasn't anything like overly impressive in my opinion. And so the hard part for me is getting older. I want to be willing to change with the times. And the way that some of these guys were healing the Sears this year, if I need to adjust, then I want to be adaptable, and because that's the only way that you're going to stick around. If either one of us gets stuck in, you know, we're going to do it this certain way because, you know, it works or whatever. Well, eventually it won't work. Mm-hmm. So we have to be willing to change with the times. And so I don't want him to ever feel like he needs to shoulder the time deal because, like, you know, there's plenty that the healer can do too.
I was very proud of us, though. I mean, we said all that. I was very proud of Jake. He was, you know, like an old vet. He would not come out of the process of what we said we were going to come do. And it's hard to do that for 10 nights here. And so I was proud of us for that. It's just, you know how it is. The guys rope so fast out here. It wants to get you sped up. So that's... It was just a little bit of my own head issue, I guess.
Yeah. And now, you were first of the four that had to go tonight that had a chance. How much did that affect your mental game?
I didn't realize we were in a race necessarily, you know, because I try to make a run and then... I wasn't really worried about, because after I make the run, I'm rooting for these guys.
Yeah.
I want to put the best run I can. And then if we beat you outright, then great. But you're not looking to see your buddies fail. Because mm-hmm. we've done this all year. And so every one of them guys, as they're roping, I'm cheering for. But I do like when you put a great run on the board and they have to beat you. And so that's all I was trying to do tonight is we drew a good steer, get a good start. Go as fast as I can without messing up because the average is a big deal and I thought we executed well.
Yeah, how about for you? Did you know what all needed to happen? You had, I mean, I preface that with saying we did the show today, Taylor wrote her breakdown. You had the least mathematical chance of the four.
Oh, I told everybody was super supportive this whole week. I thought last night when I wrote the leg, I took away our chance of winning. I really did. And even tonight, you know, God bless her, his wife, my wife, my kids, they're like, oh, you know, we might win it tonight. And I'm like, we maybe have a 2% chance. Like, don't get your hopes up. And I wasn't saying that to take pressure off. I
didn't think we had much of a chance.
But there was no point in trying to look at it because we had to go first. There was no way of knowing what them guys did. If we'd have went at the end, I probably would have come up with a scenario, even though he didn't want to know, I would have known it. But my thought was just like he said, like, really and truly, because Colton and them roped just unbelievably good this week. You never expect
something, which he got such a raw deal of a go at that steer. I mean, he literally jumped 2 foot away from him right when he's throwing. Like, it was such a bad luck thing that... I just thought there was no way they were going to miss this year. They roped way too good. They were tapped off. And so my goal tonight, truthfully, was let's make a good run. Hopefully we win something decent in the round. If we can win second in the average, we're going to win a ton of money out of here. It's going to be a great week. And that was really my only thought process. And I knew deep down that, like, hey, if we win a good check, I didn't really know what the other guys besides Colton needed to do. And when we came out, I said, man, I don't know what needs to happen. I said, the only chance we have, if Colton and them happen to not do good, you know, we would have a chance at it. And then when Driggers and them caught.
Yeah, he said Driggers, they won because they were cheering.
Yeah.
And we were like, I bet they did get the lead because
we just assumed Driggers is going to know.
He knew all the knew a lot of scenarios.
So when he came out and they were hooping and hollering, we're like, well, they must know what we don't know. Well, then when he comes by, we asked them both. I said, did you win it if this goes bad? And he said, I don't know. I didn't look. And so then I'm like, well, maybe there's a chance. And again, I'm still thinking, well, there's no way Colton and them are going to mess up. And then when that happened, we still didn't know. We're running around the arena. I'm yelling at Joe, like, did we win it? And then we come around, take the picture for the average. And then when we went to do the interview, that's when they told us. And I cried like a baby. And
that is an incredible thing to not know and then have the lady tell us. I mean, that was so fun. Because we're just running around there. We already took our pictures with the average win. That's cool. And then we're going to do the interview, I thought, because we won the round.
Yep.
And then she tells us, and I've never done that before, you know, that's a new deal. And then tells us we're world champs. I'm like, you're kidding me. What a neat deal.
Absolutely. What? You don't have your phone with you, but I bet Barry Berg is probably the most excited man in America right now.
I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty brokenhearted he's not back here with us.
I thought there was no way that they were going to keep Barry out of this.
We were sitting there taking pictures, and I'm like, how is he not back
here? Maybe they didn't let him in.
I mean,
he's cheering us wherever he's at, I guarantee
you that. He hasn't stopped. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Well, on Barry's behalf, since he would never forgive me if I didn't ask, head rope, give me your head rope. What?
Explosion soft.
I was a hard medium OG. Used them for several years.
Such now, a really. Traditionalist.
I really don't shy away from much. I do like the blue ropes, like the feel of them, but I can't.
The futures?
Any blue rope.
Blue rope. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I didn't. Okay, gotcha.
Well, the futures do feel good, but like the bad part is I helped engineer the game changer rope.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, my dad told me for years I'd try to give him ropes. He's like, son, I can't see blue. I'm like, what do you mean you can't see blue? He's like, when I throw it down there, I can't see it. And I'm like, you're stupid. I don't know what you're talking about. And then I was roping with Luke Brown right after we made the game changer. And I picked the color and everything. I love that rope. And all of a sudden, I messed up one. We were at Salt Lake. I'll never forget it. And then I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, I couldn't see my loop. And I even watch it on video, and I'm like, I can't see the loop. And so I had to start using white ropes, and it broke my heart that I had to quit using that rope. But yeah, I've I used the Mojo, I guess.
Yeah, the Mojo forever.
And then when I switched over, I didn't. I was probably the last guy to switch over to the core. I tried my hardest to stay away from it, and Barry tweaked some stuff enough, and I think they got her figured out. You know, well, a few years back now, but I've been a core guy, and whenever that happened, I switched to OG. So.
Yeah, man, at the beginning of the week, I got a text from Barry that said, hey, I really want to do a podcast, but I think we weren't counting on this being a Cactus Ropes podcast, but here we are.
Yeah.
Because...
well, we did tell you, I'll stay here a week and talk to you if you want me to. I don't care.
This is the longest world championship interview I think I've ever done.
This
but
is not going
like
to be a short.
We've had a long time to build up to this.
Well, when you're old like me, yeah, we got a lot of history and a lot of stuff to talk about, and guys don't think the old guys will get it, including us sometimes.
Well, congratulations. I'll let you go celebrate with your families.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for joining along all week, the last 10 days. It has been a pleasure to bring you the stories from the press room that Chelsea and I get to hear from Chelsea, get the joy of hearing and then bringing to you guys. It's always such a blessing, and we thank Oz on a Hot Streak once again for helping us tell these stories all week long. Lock in your contract over at soloselecthorses.com or by calling Madison at 940-580-0156.